welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. Changapana was the inspiration for the Chinese detective Charlie Chan from the 1930s. This is ART's second episode, written and performed at one of ART's Christmas parties. Here's Changapana in Midnight Clear.
American Radio Theater presents another episode of that real-life Charlie Chan, Changapana of the Honolulu Police Department. We left him marching 40 people to the police station in Chinatown, the biggest arrest by a single officer. Today, we look in as Lieutenant Henry Chillingsworth runs into that intrepid reporter for the Star Bulletin, Emily Ho.
Henry Chillingsworth.
Ho!
A little early for shave ice, yeah?
Well, Emily Ho. Oh, it's never too early for a shave ice.
So what flavor you got?
Nothing better than Lilikoi.
No. Got ice cream on bottom?
Is there any other way?
Uh-huh. One snow cap.
How's that again?
Oh, cream drizzled on top, making it look like Mauna Kea.
Oh, next time for sure. Emily, what's your favorite flavor? I'll buy you one.
Oh, lychee. Little bit of heaven.
Well, here you go.
Mahalo. So what you doing down here in Waikiki?
Oh, trying to stay out of the heat at the police station. Oh, here, you need a napkin.
Think I'd be messy. Mahalo. Too much Kona winds for Howleys.
No, that's not it. Big Eddie and his gang are really upset with me.
Ha! Big Eddie always upset about something.
Oh, not like this.
Why are you worried?
Emily, if you worked for something other than the newspaper, I'd be willing to tell you.
Well, I don't print everything I hear.
Oh, no. Just anything having to do with Chang.
Well, is that a problem?
Everyone thinks we're joined at the hip. He's always wandering around and getting me into trouble.
Huh.
I spend most of my free time trying to smooth the waves he leaves in his wake as he twinkle-toes along.
Well, so where's Chinatown's hero today?
I send him down to the docks. I'm hoping that keeps him out of trouble and out of Big Eddie's hair and gives me some time to myself.
Do you think that's wise?
Well, foolhardy. Chang's just like a little kid. You can't leave him alone for a minute. You turn around and bam, another screw-up.
Have you heard anything about the big guy yet?
Big Eddie? That's why I'm down here, Emily.
No, silly Santa Claus.
Oh, Emily Ho. You telling me you believe in Santa Claus?
What's a girl to think when islands are filled with reported sightings of a Hawaiian-sized howley around this time of year? Ho-ho-hoing.
I haven't heard anything. Must be just a tourist.
But no one sees how he gets here. We know he don't come by steamship. He'd just show up, soak up some sunshine, surf a little, and disappear before Christmas Eve.
Yeah, never heard of him. He's got to be a tourist.
Tourist or not, I'd love to get an interview with him. Maybe you could put Changapana on him.
Oh, now, that's an idea. That'd keep him out of trouble. Chasing a will-o'-the-wisp. Just the thing. Thanks, Emily.
And if he catch him, I get one interview,
yeah,
eh?
We'll have to see. No promises.
At the old plantation, home of Victoria Ward and Lucy, one of her six daughters, a very wet Changapana is drying out.
I've sent for some lemonade, Chang.
Oh, thanks, Miss Lucy.
What in the world were you doing swimming in your clothes? And very odd clothes to see on you, I might add.
I was on docks as Kanapun, look for smuggling.
And it got too hot, so you fell in?
Not true.
Well, what were you doing? You can tell me.
Police stuff.
Chang, as an officer of the Humane Society, I'm also the police. You know that.
Kaden, someone taking Maru dock. Big Eddie's boat.
Big Eddie owns a ship? I didn't know that. You have something against him?
Throw me out window 2 times.
Or are you going to hold a grudge about that?
Maybe so, as Kanapun got hired to unload Tikimaru.
Oh, not a bad business, shipping.
Smuggling if it don't pay dues.
You find anything on board?
Crates and crates of toys. No custom tags. Smuggling.
Well, that doesn't tell me why you got wet.
Got seen snooping in the hold. 2 crew throw me overboard.
twice?
Once only. Not a thing. Got big wood canoe and crate. No custom stickers. Fancy, expensive, carved all over. Then got thrown overboard.
Well, I'm glad you came here. No sense getting your wife upset.
Wife only upset if lose that mahjong. I need to see you, Lucy.
Oh, if only you weren't married.
No make difference.
I like to watch you and hear your chuckle.
Could do more.
Oh, my family would object. They only see a pake, while I see a man.
Won't be more than friends.
You hold my heart always.
That's not enough, but it's better.
The Secretary of the Humane Society of Hawaii, Florence Marguerite Gurry, is having an afternoon tea with one of her closest friends, Helen Keenow Wilder.
Helen, I suppose we have to ride in this travesty of a Christmas parade.
Well, the Humane Society should have a presence there.
I know. We could show off a few of those broken-down dray horses from Manoa Quarry. Parade them right down the street with fancy bows on.
We wouldn't be allowed to do that. I'm afraid it would outrage people against the Humane Society.
What? Making a purse out of a sow's ear?
Sometimes out of sight has advantages of being out of mind.
But it would really spice up the parade. All the haughty stares.
Slow. You sound bored with the parade.
I've ridden in it for years. It's just disgusting.
Disgusting?
It's basically the white oligarchy applauding themselves for taking Hawaii away from the Hawaiians.
White oligarchy? Those are the kind of words they taught you at that school on the mainland?
You mean my conscience is showing?
You came back with blood in your eye and lobbied for the job of secretary.
Can't we do something to twist everyone's tails in this parade? Something different.
What about something comical, clown?
How can you be comical when you're sitting on a horse?
Okay, you don't like that idea. Let's think about elegant.
Elegant like what?
Well, how about the group of us from the society dress up as pa'o riders? Each horse and rider could be dressed up as a different island.
You mean different colors for the pa'o? Are you sure the horses would be okay with all that fabric draped all over them? 9 yards of it?
Oh, we can drape the fabric over the saddle and have half of it on either side of the horse. The ancient Hawaiians used them to cover the women's lower parts for decency.
Since women didn't ride side saddle back then, you mean?
Yes. If we do it just right, the horses won't mind.
Pooling around the horses' feet, getting walked on and tripped on with each step.
You're telling me that your horse isn't trained enough to handle it? I always thought you were a better rider than that.
There isn't a horse on this island I can't ride.
And we could have huge leis made of flowers around their necks. Oh, that would look so grand.
That might brighten things up, Helen. But I don't see that it's going to liven them up. I want to twist some tail.
What do you want us to do? Bring in Santa Claus?
Santa Claus? Santa Claus. Santa Claus, I like it.
You do? Florence, I was just joking.
No, think about it. It'll poke a big hole in everyone's high and mighty parade. We'll be laughing at our betters. And they won't be able to say anything about it. They can't throw rocks at Santa Claus. It's their heritage.
We'd be the laughingstock of Honolulu.
At least if they're laughing at us, they'll give Queen Liliuokalani a rest.
Speaking about the Queen, do you want me to let Lucy know?
No, I'll do it, but not today. Don't let her hear you calling her that.
Oh, I was just joking. What's happening today?
On Mondays, the real Queen has luncheon with Victoria Ward and the family. Lucy will be involved with that. I don't speak good enough Hawaiian to attend.
Oh, surely they speak English.
Not since Queen Liliuokalani was deposed by her friends. Ever since then, Mrs. Ward insists on only speaking Hawaiian, particularly when the Queen visits.
Maybe having Santa in the parade will do something else, Florence.
Like what?
What kid, white, brown, yellow, or black, can resist Santa Claus? Could we turn the parade into something that everyone living in the islands will enjoy watching?
You mean subvert it from being a parade about Howleys patting themselves on the back?
If we talked about Santa being in the parade, I'll bet every kid in town will be on the parade route just to see.
The good old boys will hate it, having all those kids underfoot and their constant noise. Helen, I love it.
To get it in the papers and encourage everyone to come, we could claim sightings of Santa all over the island. Plant pieces in the newspaper.
But, Helen, do you have someone in mind, or are you just talking through your hat?
God will provide, I'm sure of it. But to be on the safe side, we need to get Lucy involved. That girl gets the most amazing things done.
She should. She takes lessons.
Out at the Wilder Ranch several days later, Helen and Lucy Ward, longtime friends and rebellious to the hilt, plot their next thrust.
Helen, it's working. It's really working.
Do you really think we'll get away with this?
Of course. Oh, that must be Big Eddie and Mokey.
Big Eddie? The gangster? You invited him here? Lucy, how could you?
No one will know. Who would suspect that Big Eddie was in cahoots with one of the island's wilders?
Oh, I certainly wouldn't.
You want to see me, ma'am?
Yes, she did.
Thanks for coming, Mr. Eddie.
Call me Big Eddie. Everyone does.
Please, have a seat, sir.
You too, Mokey. Please sit down.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks.
Lucy and I have a proposition for you, sir.
Just kind of sudden, ladies. Customary for exchange vows first.
We've got you there, Helen. Oh, stop blushing. We're not suggesting that.
Too bad. What you got in mind?
It occurs to me that one reason you're such a target for the police don't do anything to offset your well-known reputation. What if you did something that made people think highly of you?
I ruined my reputation? Ladies, that all I got.
We've got something that might make you look good.
Really good. And cover your other activities at the same time.
You two wahini gonna tell me my business? Okay, tell me more.
The Christmas parade's coming up. It's usually so staid and awful. All my relatives in their coaches moseying along. But what if Santa Claus was in the parade?
Ladies, sorry, but I heard that Santa Claus myth. Besides, he lives somewhere north of North Beach. North Pole, maybe.
But he could come here on vacation, couldn't he? Be in the parade and then leave on his deliveries?
Silly have big howley in a red velvet suit with sleigh and reindeers. 80 degrees outside, yeah? And Kona wetted a boot.
On vacation, be in trunks and not surfboard. No red suit.
Oh, that's right. We could have him arrive by surfboard.
Where he carried the presents.
Presents?
If it can't be Santa, God have presents.
No one knows how he arrives. His reindeer could just drop him off.
No, by that.
Well, you've got that red canoe inside the Tiki Maru.
Miss Ward, how do you know that?
Oh, a little birdie. You do, don't you?
Yeah. Gotta haul back to New Zealand. That Kane would order it, no except.
All that carving. I bought one racing canoe, not Maori canoe needing 50 paddlers.
Smoky. No need to tell our business to these two wahine.
What if we bought it?
Lucy, with what?
We could use it in the parade. For Santa and the presents.
No lightweight canoes, ladies, made from tree.
Perfect. We could have some beach boys carry it. They're all muscle.
Lucy, we don't have that kind of money for an authentic Maori canoe.
Let me contribute that. Since for good cause.
Yeah, your reputation.
Yeah, my reputation. Besides, I can take it back after.
Now, what are we going to do about Santa Claus?
Plenty big Hawaiians.
That's true. But since Christmas is primarily a Northern European tradition, I think he should be a Howling. Lucy, you know anyone that's big enough to play the role?
It'd be better if he wasn't known. No, I don't.
The skipper of Tiki Maru might fit the bill.
He large enough.
Who?
Skipper, my boat.
We've already started rumors about seeing Santa on the beach.
Ah, saw him in the Star Bulletin. I thought Captain Larson was going to bust a gut.
Do you think he'd do it?
Oh, he'd do it. I see to it.
You'll get him to make a showing on the beach?
I bet he won't be able to say he not Santa Claus.
Could you donate some of those toys for him to give out in the parade?
How much you know about my business? Could work. Kid in.
But only to the kids.
The ones who never get any.
I know ask Captain Larson to go down chimneys.
That wouldn't work in Hawaii. Think about it. People live in grass shacks without fireplaces.
Could come in through one window.
Yes, I agree.
Since he can't wear a red suit, what? Then the shorts could be red.
And must wear lei. Oh, and straw hat.
People will be shocked just to see a white man in shorts.
Well, I'll get something made up for him.
It better be big.
Now, I get measurements for you and send Moki with them.
In the meantime, we'll keep talking about him to everyone.
Our dog catcher today.
I sent him down to the docks.
Nothing doing today.
Perfect. You can't get into trouble.
It keeps me busy trying to keep him busy.
Make me mad. He no follow procedure but come up smelling like a lady.
One big bust. He had a one big bust. He could have been killed.
Yeah, how many times can he get thrown out before he lands wrong?
He got lucky, that's all.
Emily Ho wants me to put him on Santa Claus.
Santa Claus?
Sound like a great idea. Keep him out of everyone's hair.
We all work in this parade? I got plans, eh?
I want to see everyone there, keeping the peace.
Even dog catcher?
Especially him.
I know. Put him on the drunk patrol.
Drunk patrol?
Then maybe they can beat the crap out of him. I'd like to see that.
A week later, the girls have done a superb job getting people excited about the sightings of the famous person and his participation in the annual parade. But trouble is just around the bend when Chang spotted a familiar red canoe. The moon shone on a calm sea as the red canoe was slid through the waves and onto the Ala Moana beach.
Canoe from Tiki Maru. I don't see customs sticker.
Hey, you! Get away from that canoe!
Still illegal.
Get off my canoe, Chang!
Illegal. I am pound.
No, you don't. Sorry, specimen of a Chinese. It's my canoe and I've got business to do.
I don't think so.
You're not taking my canoe.
You try
come back in this canoe, I'll use my paddle on your head.
You under arrest.
Arrest? For what? Get off my canoe.
Try hit me again and I grab that paddle and pull you in.
Hearing chink.
You under arrest. Assaulting police, smuggling, throw me off boat. We go police station.
You're making a big mistake, Chink. I'm Santa Claus, get it? Santa Claus! Santa Claus!
Several days later, Henry joined Lucy and Helen in the lush tropical garden at the Ward's Christmas party. It's the night before the big parade, but the group is far from jovial.
Helen, here comes Henry. Maybe he's got good news.
Henry, have you seen him?
Not a sign of him anywhere.
Oh, what are we going to do?
We've done such a good job getting people worked up about this. How are we going to say it was a hoax?
Psst, Miss Helen, Miss Lucy.
Who's there?
Big Eddie.
And Moki.
What in thunder are you doing here?
My mother will have you flayed if she finds you.
You Howleys no play fair. I go out on limb, loan you one expensive canoe, convince my captain that this happens.
What happens?
All your fault, Chillingsworth.
I didn't do anything.
That understatement of the year. Tell me another one, Howley.
I have to ask this, but I think I know the answer. Have you seen him, Big Eddie?
Oh, I expect this as a lark, not a cockroach him completely. He's my skipper. My business depends on him, and thanks to you, he gone.
Slow down. Breathe deep. Big Eddie, we've been looking for him high and low, for both Captain Larson and the canoe.
We're on an island, for heaven's sake. It's driving all of us nuts.
I find.
And the parade is tomorrow. Oh, we promised everything that we'd have Santa in the parade. We're really so...
I find.
Moki, did you just say what I wanted to hear?
I find.
Praise the Lord.
Well, where is he?
In jail.
Moki, why are you not?
Just find out a little while ago, boss.
No, he can't be. I'd know.
You don't know nothing. Your own department.
Your partner put him there.
Chang?
Changapana? It always Changapana causing problems. This was good town. Then you guys hired a pake.
Let me go get him. He's here on the grounds. I want to get to the bottom of this. I'll be right back.
Changapana here? Boss, we need go.
I won't throw him out window this time. I wrap tree around
now,
him.
Now, sir, settle down. You don't know how bad this makes me feel.
And you'll be next.
Through here, Chang.
Lucy, not understand. Oh, Henley, Miss Helen. You get it.
I big Eddie, you all over a garden.
Now, just wait just a minute. We got to listen to what happened. Lucy, since it's been your idea all along, you start.
Well, not precisely. It was mostly Flo's. Chang, you know we've been working on the parade for tomorrow.
Oh.
We arranged to borrow a red canoe from Big Eddie.
Red canoe?
And hired the captain of Big Eddie's ship to portray Santa Claus.
Santa Claus?
Captain Larson looked like the Howley Santa Claus, and you pinched him.
He was smuggling. No duties on toys, no duties on canoe.
Those were gifts not for sale.
I watch all the time. Suspicious. When he chew me off canoe, I went get mad. Hauled his O'Callie off to jail.
Didn't he tell you who he was?
Kept yelling Santa Claus at me. He don't look Portuguese, but what I know, all Hauleys look alike.
Well, that does it for Captain Larson.
Pippa said Larson, but he kept yelling Santa Claus. Pippa no match.
But where's that confounded canoe?
I find canoe. Police impound yacht.
Oh, fine. Okay, this is what we're going to do.
I'd kill him first.
Yeah, I know you want to. In fact, we all want to, but we've got some work to do. Chang, I want you to go get that canoe and bring it to the parade area.
How I do that?
You better find a way. And I want it polished until it gleams. I want you to stay there and guard it with your life.
What day is left of it?
Huh.
Big Eddie, you and Moki go get those presents ready for the parade. They'll need to be packed into the canoe so they can be handed out during the parade.
My toys. I don't want
to. I don't want to either, but none of us has a choice tonight. And I'll get Captain Larson out of jail. Somehow. Chang, you owe me good. Malasadas aren't going to be enough this time.
Bring the captain to my house. Lucy and I'll get him spruced up and all ready.
Say goodbye to the party, everyone. We got to get Santa ready before dawn.
What you doing here? Thought you at party with big shots.
Oh, I was, until the rug was pulled out from underneath me.
Oh, your girlfriend not there?
How many times do I have to tell you that Emily Ho is not my girlfriend?
Uh-huh. What our dog catcher do now?
He arrested Santa Claus.
Santa Claus? He not know that not real person?
Oh, this one's real enough, and Big Eddie is very unhappy.
Big Eddie? He believes in Santa Claus?
And what's more, Moki says we got him.
Oh, wait. You pulling my leg. What you mean we got him?
Danny, don't tell me we don't have someone down in the cells. We better have someone down there.
Oh, we got someone. Just that Lolo guy.
The crazy guy? The what one, crazy guy?
The one that keeps screaming he's Santa Claus.
So, we do have him. I was so hoping that wasn't going to be true.
He really is? But I not know.
Now, if you don't want Big Eddie to make life even more difficult, we got to get him out of here and over to the Wilders.
Oh, so They believe he's Santa
Claus. And we have to make the paperwork look good. He's going to ride in their blasted parade. Now, come on, get out the keys.
Big joke. Dog catcher, lock up Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho. Come on, hurry it up. I got things to take care of tonight. What's left of it?
Denzel would miss Emily, I bet.
Oh, I wish. Big Eddie isn't that light on my feet.
Santa! Hooray! Oh,
you don't know how close that was.
Henry, you look awful. Just awful. Were you up all night partying?
Oh, just about. But I don't think I'd call it partying. But you know, looking at all those shining eyes, I think it was worth it.
And presents! My guy! Excellent, excellent! Henry, about that interview you promised me with the big man...
Oh, don't ask, Emily. As soon as the parade is over, Santa has to go off on his rounds. In fact, he can't wait to get out of this town. He's been here too long.
Rough time in Honolulu? What, he find gravel in his sand?
Unexpected, I think you could say.
Look at all those kids. This parade will never be the same again.
Ah, you like your parade now? Now that it stands for something better than your friends?
Not my friends, Helen. Betrayers of the Queen. Don't tar me with the same brush.
Oh, enough of that. Smile for the kids, you reprobate.
Lucy, I got this for you.
Oh, Chang, you shouldn't. You have kids to give presents for.
Bit apology for making you worry. Open, open.
Oh, Chang, they're breathtaking. So beautiful.
Jade beads have special meaning.
Will you be upset if I give you a present?
From you, it would be special.
Here. Open, open.
Oh, a warrior's carving.
For my warrior. Merry Christmas.
Mele kaliki maka, Lucy. Mele kaliki maka to everyone.
American Radio Theater has presented Chang Upon a Midnight Clear, written, produced, and directed by Joy Jackson. You heard Al Tringali as Chang Upon a with Greg Porter as Henry Chillingsworth, Joy Jackson as Emily Ho, Melinda Maines as Lucy Ward, Marge Lutton as Helen Keenow Wilder, Liz Roach as Florence Gurry, Pat McNally as Big Eddie, Michael Mokey O'Reilly as Mokey, Dan Schindler as Danny, and Kim Turner as Santa. Sound effects by Penny Swanberg. I'm Ken Leese, your announcer and the voice of Andy. Mahalo for listening and mele kaliki maka. This is ART, the American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to a segment from the Christmas on the Blue. From December 25, 1944.
But right now, we want to hear Paul Whiteman and his orchestra and the Paul Taylor Chorus in one of the outstanding musical arrangements of 1944, Holiday for Strings.
Music all around me.
Voted the most promising star of tomorrow, who we can hear at 8:30 Tuesday night when he broadcasts for Bristol Myers. He is, of course, Alan Young. We take you now to New York.
Seriously, I would like to show you the first girl I ever met in the United States. It was the second week I was down here and I had a blind date. Somebody gave me this girl's address and I'd never seen her before, so when I walked up onto her front porch, she was standing there waiting for me. Are you Betty?
Why, yes.
Well? Hello?
Alan Young, it's you.
Yeah, and it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well?
Well?
Should we neck?
Oh, why don't we just sit on the porch swing here? I don't want to wake up Grandpa.
Okay.
Oh, it's fortunate we got together.
Yeah.
You know, my being here is quite unexpected.
So is mine. My mother wanted a girl.
Do you Do you do much reading, Mr. Young?
Oh, yeah, I read all kinds of books.
Oh, good. So do I. Do you like Little Women?
Yeah, but I like books, too. You, care to feel a muscle in my arm?
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Your arm is as hard as a rock. How did it get that way?
Got a rock up my sleeve. See, Betty, you know, you're about the prettiest girl I ever saw.
Oh, Mr. Young, you're fooling.
Yeah. I like you, Betty.
I like you, too. Mr. Young, are you going with anybody?
Yeah, anybody. Oh, I had a girl once, but I quit going with her because she was so deceitful. Mm. Every night she used to tell me to put my arm around her because she was cold. And she wasn't.
What did you do when you were sitting alone with a girl like this?
Oh, we used to play post office.
You did?
Yeah. We just sat there, and then I opened my mouth, and she rammed a package down my throat. See, it's getting a little darker, getting a little quieter, too. Betty, will you sit on my knee?
But, Mr. Young, what about my grandpa?
He'll have to stand. I can't seat the whole family. Betty?
Yes, Mr. Young?
What I'm trying to say is, are you doing anything tonight?
Why, no.
Oh. Doing anything tomorrow night?
Why, no.
Oh. You doing anything Friday night?
Why, yes. I have a date Friday night.
Oh. Well, some other time, I guess.
But, Alan, you were going to ask me something.
Yeah, Betty, I was wondering...
Hey, what time is this to be making love to my granddaughter?
8:30.
Oh, all right. Good night.
Good night. Yeah, Betty, what I'm trying to say is, do you believe a fella should kiss a girl right away?
Alan Young, you want to kiss me?
No? I mean, yes.
I don't know what to say. I've never kissed a man before.
Well, neither have I, so we start even. I've wanted to meet a girl like you, Betty. I've wanted that more than anything else in the world. Even more than a hat with cherries. Of course, I don't show my excitement because my technique is the calm, sophisticated.
Alan, you've got a head on your shoulders.
Act it up! Oh. Sorry, I mean, well, if you don't want to kiss me. Of course, after all, you know what they say in French.
No, what?
Huh? I guess they can say pretty well anything in French. What about it, Betty? Will you kiss me?
Oh, I don't know what to answer, Alan. Hmm? My heart says yes. My head says perhaps. But my soul, no.
Huh? What do you hear from your liver? Betty, I'm going to take you in my arms and kiss you. And then...
Hey, I'll teach you to kiss my granddaughter.
Too late. I already know.
Oh, all right. Good night.
Good night. I was saying, Betty, I'd like to be with you because you look just like my uncle.
Oh, Alan, you mean I look like my aunt, like your aunt.
Whose aunt?
Your aunt.
Let's not louse up our families, kid. Keep your aunt out of this. And take my word for it, you're better off looking like my uncle. Betty, I want to take you in my arms, and then I want to...
All right, now, suppose you just tell me what's going on out here.
Why, nothing at all, Grandpa. Mr. Young was going to kiss me.
Oh, he was he? Well, nobody kisses my granddaughter unless they're gentlemanly about it. Now, go ahead and let's see just how much of a gentleman you are.
Well, okay. I was just going to take her in my arms like this.
Yes.
And draw her close to me like this.
Yes.
And then kiss her like this. There.
Well, I guess that's all right. But now suppose you put me down and try it out on my granddaughter.
And here's Gracie Fields again to carry on with Christmas on the Blue.
And to start off our second half hour, we have the pleasure of presenting two of the great stars heard on the Texaco Metropolitan Opera program Saturday afternoon at 2. We can't, of course, bring you an entire opera, but we are fortunate enough to be able to bring you Mr. Lawrence Tibbett singing the famous Toreador song and Miss Reezy Stevens singing the beautiful Seguidilla from Carmen. Mr. Tibbett and Miss Stevens will be heard with the Metropolitan Orchestra under the direction of Cesare Sodero. We take you now to New York.
Votre torche brûlera, Seigneur, Seigneur, fera avec les soldats. Oui, le toreros va s'entendre, pour plaisir, il va les combattre. Le cirque est plein, ses jours de fête, le cirque est plein du haut en bas. Les spectateurs
the best Christmas gift I've had today.
You're more than welcome, Lisa. You know, music that reaches the boys who are far away from home at Christmas is a mighty important part of the season for them.
Yes, I know it, Larry. I've seen them in the Army and Navy hospitals all over the country. It's not only a privilege, it's our job to sing for them.
Well then, Lisa, what's your part of our Christmas package this year?
I think I'll sing another aria from the famous Carmen, Larry, the Seguidilla.
par de cire, chez mon ami le pasteur. J'irai danser la séguette et boire du vin d'avion. J'irai chez mon ami le pasteur.
Turn you now to Hollywood.
From the Metropolitan Opera House in New York, we return to Hollywood only long enough to introduce our next guest. There are lots of nice things I could say about him, but if you are one of the millions of American listeners who tune in to the Jergens Journal at 9 o'clock Sunday night, I am sure that nothing more need be said than we take you now to Walter Winchell.
Attention, Mr. and Mrs. United States. Christmas Day celebrates the birthday of the only king few common people have recognized. They love him because the only realm he has ever asked is the kingdom of their hearts. But the next 2,000 years of history will be a whole lot happier than the last 2,000 if the rulers of this earth would remember that the Prince of Peace is also the King of Humility. The agony of humanity can be measured now, as it always will be, by the distance it has departed from his teachings. The terms of the only permanent peace treaty were written thousands of years ago, and they have never varied. They are the Sermon on the Mount and the Ten Commandments. They were not ushered in by flamethrowers, machine guns, warships, rocket guns, or armored cars. They were brought by a baby born in a stable. Today, on 100 battlefields, the young men of this nation are fighting his fight against greed, intolerance, and injustice. For those who fight, the nation prays that he be with them. And those who have made the supreme sacrifice, the nation knows are with him now. This Christmas, there is a special soft light from the Star of Bethlehem for the gold star in the window. He left no handwriting. Like many another great message, his words were not first written on paper. He knew that all great messages must be simple enough to be written on men's hearts. He personally spoke to only a few men, but millions of people have repeated his words. Now, through a great and a good industrial miracle, your radio, tens of millions of people can hear his message of eternal tolerance and decency without going out of their homes. The forces of evil use radio in code, a secret weapon. But for free men, speaking in the open, it is public weapon number one. For every secret enemy communique in the field, the Blue Network alone sends millions of public messages into American homes to rally American citizens to the cause of our country. Messages vital to the welfare of its free citizens and therefore vital to the welfare of our nation. Yes, the Blue Network will be functioning long after the last enemy wireless set is silenced. But until the day that all men speak under the general bond of charity and tolerance, the decent people of the world have no choice but to speak with weapons and war bonds. We are fighting for the bond of his brotherhood, underwritten by a promise 2,000 years old. And no more effective method of helping exists today than by purchase of a war bond underwritten by the United States government. A great American war president, nearly 100 years ago, stated America's only war aim: to do the right as God gives us to see the right, and to do that with malice toward none and with charity toward all. That will be as valid 500 years from now as it was when it was repeated nearly 100 years ago by Abraham Lincoln, because it was said over 1900 years ago by the man who gives us our hope and our strength today. And that great permanent purpose of America is why a United States war bond is the greatest possible expression of the general bond of all mankind. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel privileged to speak of humanity's debt to radio today because no man owes it more than I do. I believe from my heart that with the advent of radio, the forces of evil lost their greatest confederate, secrecy, and the forces of good gained their strongest ally, easy, direct, and public communication. In expressing my debt to radio as an invention, I would feel remiss if I did not express my appreciation of the Blue Network in particular. I am proud, as a broadcaster, to have the use of such a great instrument of civilization as the radio. But I am particularly proud, as a Blue Network reporter and commentator, to say that I believe this instrument of civilization is treated by the highly civilized executives of the Blue Network as a sacred trust of the American people and the people's priceless Bill of Rights. And now, may I present one of the working trustees of your Bill of Rights, a man whose high purpose matches his greatest responsibilities, Mr. Chester LaRoche.
Thank you, Walter. You are truly a national institution. Now, in this one of the great public service programs of the day, I am sure all of you who are listening will not feel it out of place if, in behalf of the Blue Network and its 190 stations, and for Mr. Noble, our chairman, I thank the famous stars and our overseas staff who have worked with us to make this program one of which we are proud, a program which we planned in the mood of the day for your pleasure and relaxation. It is our way of saying Christmas greetings and thanks for your loyalty to the Blue. As you share the spirit of the day with those dear to you at home, we of the Blue Network are mindful that out of your hearts pours forth a mighty prayer to those of our flesh and blood overseas. They are fighting for what we so profoundly believe in, that this is far and away the greatest country in the world. If all these prayers surged into one, they would swell into a mighty chorus, a voice so loud that over the roar of the guns every one of our boys overseas would be sure that despite our temporary flaws or our failures of the day, never before was a home front so determined to stand shoulder to shoulder with its fighting men. The Germans and the Japs brag of their efficiency and unity of purpose, often brought about by the Gestapo and the point of the gun. But their efforts can never match ours. On D-Day, our leaders told us that we had met every demand for guns and supplies. The American volunteer method, based on information, had beaten the fascist method, based on compulsion. But now, the news from the Western Front makes it clear to all of us that our leaders must ask us to do far more than we have ever done. But let us not wait. Let's get the radar equipment, the trucks, the tires, and the ammunition. Let us pile up supplies pile on pile until there is never again a question of enough. The Blue Network will cooperate with our war leaders in making clear what we are up against and what is needed. We will present fearlessly all sides of a problem. Our commentators are allowed to express their own opinions. They need not conform to ours. We are not afraid of the result. If the extreme liberal or the extreme conservative viewpoints are heard, as long as both are heard. Our faith is such that we believe, given all sides of a question, our people will act soundly and with judgment. That is the basis of democracy. To help make democracy grow and assume its rightful place in world leadership, we pledge ourselves to find new ways to use the full power of radio, liberally and progressively and unafraid. Thank you.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun to ride and sing in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing our sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing our sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Happy holidays to everyone from all of us at ART. For more podcasts by ART, including some of our productions from ART's Christmas parties, please stop by our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org. Hey, thanks for listening. See you next time.